I hope you recognize that theme song because it means it's time for Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF, your hometown radio station right there in Madison and North Florida. And we just are so excited today to bring you a message of hope from God's Word. Praise God. Amen. I tell you, you can't get that message from CNN. You can't get it from MSNBC or the Fox Network. You just can't get it from your local newspaper or periodical. Newsweek can't bring it to you because there's no good news to bring about a world in such chaos and families in such chaos and the finances in such chaos. And it just seems everywhere you look, there is more bad, discouraging news. Well, we want to bring you good news today from the Word of God. We've got a great subject that we're dealing with here today because we're talking about the God of new beginnings. And make no mistake about it, we all need new beginnings from time to time. And we just don't want you to go anywhere. You've been listening to music that communicates a gospel of love and grace and hope. And we want to bring you a message that coincides with all of these hopeful songs because we're bringing it from God's Word. Hallelujah. Amen. So stay tuned for the next few moments. Let's dig into the Word of God together. And if you're one of those people that need to make a brand new start, you need a new beginning today. Before this broadcast is over, there will be an opportunity to pray and to do whatever's necessary before the Lord for God to grant you the grace and mercy, strength and power to begin again. Praise God. You may not feel like that right now, but this broadcast isn't over yet. We're going to get into God's Word today and pray that it gets down on the inside of us as well. And if you are not a Christian today, the new beginning for you is where we all began, and that is at the cross of Jesus where He bled and died for us. Please be our special guest today as we share this message. Your new beginning, the greatest new beginning of all, can begin when you receive Christ as your personal Savior. Pray that you'll stay tuned. You will have an opportunity, if you so choose, before this broadcast is over, to invite Jesus Christ into your heart and into your life. Praise God. Amen. I want to make this statement very clear today. Our God is a God of new beginnings. This is the third in this series of teachings on this particular subject. If you would like to begin at the beginning of these teachings and catch up to where we are today, amen, all you have to do is type in The Holy Church of God, Tampa, Florida, or THCOG. It will take you to our website right here in Tampa, where there are recent editions in sequence of Let's Talk About Jesus teachings and also live services from our church here in Tampa. If you would like to do that, we'd be so happy for you to come and visit. Everything is free. There are no strings attached. We just want to be a blessing to you if we possibly can in any way that we can. And I know if you're a Christian, God's Word is going to bless you if you receive it in a good ground heart today. Praise God. The first area we begin to speak about was forgetting the memories of sins for which Christ has forgiven us. This is the great gift of salvation through Jesus, and that is that you can be forgiven, and not just forgiven with this past hanging on to you, but forgiven so completely that the past is past forever. As it is written, saith God, the Scriptures declare, I will cast their sins away from them as far as the east is from the west, and their sins will I remember no more. Praise God. I'm telling you, to have God's forgiveness so complete is such a wonderful gift of grace and mercy from the Lord that we can be forgiven. Our sins can be forgotten. It doesn't mean that He doesn't know that we did what we did. It means that He will never associate us with that sin anymore. You know, the Scripture said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. The past is gone, my brother and my sister. Amen. And all things are become new. This is a clean slate, a fresh start. Praise the Lord. Of course we need to repent. We need to apologize to God. We need to apologize to people that we've wronged. Whether people will forgive us or not, I can't say. Some will and some will not. But God promises when you repent and you accept Christ as your Savior, praise the Lord, your sins are treated as if they had never existed. Praise God. So we need to forget the memories for sins for which Christ has forgiven us. I made a statement early on. I'm going to make it again to reiterate it today. In many of our lives, we forget what we should remember and remember what we should forget. Amen. I believe that's a great truth. I know it's true in me. Convinced it's the same in you. We forget what we should remember and remember what we should forget. I heard a preacher the other day said he got so busy he was on a preaching tour and he forgot his wife's anniversary. He forgot what he should have remembered, and he had to really do some serious making it up to her. But she forgave him. She understood, showed him grace and mercy, forgave him. And there's times that we need our memory jolted. We don't need to forget. They forgot God, the Bible said, and they were defeated by their enemy. Friend, we need to remember certain things, but there are other things that we need to remember to forget. And one of those great things is the memory of sins for which Christ has forgiven us. I'm coming up on our 49th wedding anniversary, May the 18th. I'm not going to forget to remember that. But every time the devil points his finger at my past sins that have been repented of, that have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, I want you to know, amen, I distinctly remember to forget those sins. Praise God. Secondly, we need to forget the memory of people who have wronged us and hurt us. You can't live in this fallen world. You can't have relationships with people that there will not be people who disappoint you, who discourage you, people who try to destroy you. If I don't mean kill you necessarily, but kill your character, kill your spirit, kill your reputation, try to take away from you your God-given future by discouraging you to the point of despair. We need to forget the memory of people who have wronged us and hurt us. I could go back and begin to pull out of that place of forgetfulness all kinds of past hurts, past wrongs, and I could poison my life today with the memory of those things. But God said, I need to forget the things that are behind. You know why? Because they're behind. Amen. So that I can set my goal and my focus on the things that are before. So that I can exact my energies. Hallelujah. So I can be propelled forward by God's holy purposes for my life. Praise God. But I've got to get past the past to do that. And in order to do it and have this new beginning, I need to forget the memory of people who have wronged and hurt me. And you need to do the same today. We all need that in order to have a new beginning. Praise God. Before we go to our third statement and new statement for today that we're going to talk about, I'm reminded of Corrie Ten Boom. She taught so beautifully on forgiveness. She had been arrested during World War II, placed in Ravensbrück concentration camp. Her sister, that she loved dearly, died in that concentration camp. And her sister's last words, because she saw not only the hurt in as she was dying in her sister, but the anger because of those who had brought her through the mistreatment of those prison camps to the place of death. And as she was becoming debilitated and literally through starvation and the immune system breaking down and now getting into the death throes, her last words to Corey was, "Corey, don't hate." Friend, in order not to hate those that have hurt us so deeply and so badly, we must forgive them. If we do not forgive them, we can't help but feel anger. I remember a story that Tori Ten Boom told when she had to wrestle with this that she taught so clearly in order to represent it. She said, "I was teaching and sharing my testimony in a beautiful service, and there were many people gathered. And a line of people lined up to shake her hand because she was such a wonderful representation of God's forgiveness, God's love, God's grace, God's mercy. One of the most sweetest Christ-like ladies you'd ever want to meet." And she said as the line began to come closer, as the end of the line began to come closer, she was shaking hands with people. She looked up, and about four people back, there stood a man that she recognized instantly. And the moment she recognized him, memories began to pour back into her mind that she thought had been long since forgotten. And it was the memory of the ill treatment at the hands of the guards at Ravensbrück concentration camp. And this was one of those guards, looking nervous, shuffling along in that line to shake her hand. And she was going to look him in the eye after all of these years. And she said, "When I saw him, I did not." And I'm going to use her Dutch-English accent. "When I saw him, I did not feel love for this man. But I begin to pray under my breath, 'Lord, you said I must love this man. I must forgive and love my enemies. I must love this man.'" And then her honesty, I love that about Corey, her honesty about her humanity came forward in the forefront. She said, "Lord, I do not love this man, but you said I must love this man. So Jesus, love this man through me." She consciously desired by an act of her will to forgive him. And she asked that Christ do in her what she could not manufacture in herself. You can't make yourself love your enemy. But can God love that person in spite of their meanness, their hurtfulness, their hatefulness? He can and he does, or he could have never saved me and never saved you. Oh, there's so many people that do not deserve forgiveness. And we are on that list with them because we've all sinned against God. We've all come short of His glory. We've missed the mark. Amen. Hallelujah. But God has laid on Him the iniquity of us all, to include yourself in God's forgiveness and mercy. You can't exclude someone else who is seeking it. Amen. So Corey said, "Lord, I can't forgive this man. I can't love this man in myself, but I want to forgive him. Love this man through me." And she said when he stood before her, he grabbed her hand before she could speak and said, "Corey, I don't know if you can ever forgive me, but I am so sorry for what I contributed to any hurt and pain, to your hurt, to your pain, to your dear sister. I'm so sorry. I've asked God to forgive me. I have become a Christian." And she said, you know, at that moment, she said, the love of Christ just poured through me to him. And she embraced him. And in that holy moment, there was complete and absolute harmony between two people who had such animosity and hate for one another at one time. God can do these things. Now, the problem is everyone isn't a sweet Christian who's asked God to forgive them. There are people who go on in their meanness and their hatefulness and do not ask us or God to forgiveness. But we need to get past those hurts. In order to do it, we need to say, Lord, I don't feel this in my flesh, in my emotions, but I have been forgiven. And I cannot exclude these people from my forgiveness. They can't have Christ's forgiveness unless they repent and receive Him as their Savior. They can't have God's forgiveness without that act of faith. But we can and must forgive those who have wronged us. You know, the Bible said, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Now, God says, that's not your job. That's not your responsibility. You may want to lash out. You may want to hurt. But you know, all the while we're lashing out and hurting others, we're feeling the hurt. And that's why we're lashing out. And God wants to heal that hurt in somebody listening to this broadcast today. But you've got to forgive them and go on with your life. I tell you, if you really want to, you want to walk in the victory, you want to be set free from the shackles that hold you back, you gotta forget the things that are behind. And one of those things is the past hurts that turn to bitterness within. You know, the Bible said, Paul talking, he said, if you, speaking to the church, has forgiven someone, we forgive them also. We're going to join you in that forgiveness. Lest there be in any of us a root of bitterness that would spring up and trouble us. Isn't it amazing that bitterness that is let grow within us becomes a mighty, a gnarled tree of troubled mind and troubled heart within, sappiness of our joy and our vision, and taking the strength away from us to strain forward and to pursue God's purposes in our life. And we become stymied and stagnant spiritually, embittered. The joy and peace is gone. And our enemy has not only hurt us by doing something to make us bitter, but now the bitterness is destroying all the good and all the potential in our life. Oh, friend of mine, we cannot allow that to happen. I can't let that happened. You know, I went to a school in junior high school back a long time ago when I was young in a galaxy far, far away in a time long, long ago. And when I was just in my early teens, I went to a junior high school, and the name of the school in Brandon, Florida was Horace Mann Junior High. Horace Mann Junior High. And you know, I got a little bit inquisitive. I wasn't all that interested in schoolwork, but I wanted to know why this school was named Horace Mann, who he was, and I began to read about him. He was a black educator. He was a man who, during a time in the history of America when there was such resentment against people because of their culture and their color, that they didn't want anyone of color to receive an education. Horace Mann was a champion for seeing an educational system that accommodated everyone, regardless of culture, race. And in his particular race, he wanted to see people get an education, have an opportunity. And he was persecuted, and his life was threatened because of his activism concerning educating everyone equally. And I love his attitude. Amen. You know, it's how we react that determines our true spiritual commitment to Christ. It's not just how we act, friends and neighbors. It's how we react. And I'm finding every day that I can be very proud of how I acted on that occasion, how I acted on this occasion, but how I reacted on some occasion is where I have my issues and challenges that I need forgiveness from God and sometimes from people. And folks, I want you to know that I'm not perfect, but I am pushing forward. I cannot let my past keep me from my God ordained future. Praise God. Amen. I want to be forgiven and I want to go on. But Horace Mann was had an opportunity of how he was going to react to all of this hatred, all of this animosity toward him for simply wanting to see everyone receive an education. And Horace Mann made a statement, and it touched me as a teenager. And I believe me, I wasn't all that deep and philosophical as a teenager. You know what he said? He said, and people talked to him about, how can they do this to you? How can they speak these words to you? How can they be so cruel, so mean, and so thoughtless, and so hate-filled? And Horace Mann said, I hope I can quote it real close to his exact statement, "I will never stoop so low as to let any man cause me to hate them." Isn't that an incredible statement for someone who seems to have every right to just hate back, hit back? But he said, "I will not stoop so low as to let any man cause me to hate him." This root of bitterness that turns to hate and such anger that it eats us up on the inside is something God wants to destroy in our life and dissolve in our life and resolve in our life so that we can go forward without being shackled to past hurts and past wrongs that have been done us. You know, I found myself not too long ago talking about something in the past, something someone had done that was so hurtful. You know, if you're a pastor for 40 years, total 38 right here at this church, you have some experiences and they're not all good. Everybody didn't love and embrace Jesus, so let me just give you a little clue today. Everyone certainly isn't going to love and embrace you. There were people that hated Jesus without cause. He was God incarnate. He was perfect. And yet they found fault with him. He talked about that in real personal, precise terms. And he said, "For what sin are you accusing me of? I mean, if you'll tell me, what have I done that's so terrible, so wrong? Can you delineate it? Can you tell me what it is? Why do you hate me so much, resist me so hard?" It's an incredible thing. But then he told us, "Marvel not if the world hates you, for it hated me before it hated you." Praise God. Listen to me carefully today. I don't like being hurt, but it comes. It's inevitable. You can't live your life without failing somebody and without somebody failing you. But the grace that forgave me and you, if you're a Christian, and the mercy that flowed to us when we have sinned against our Creator, amen, that He would take our place on the cross, we have obtained that forgiveness. And the Bible said, "Freely you have received, to freely give." We just can't exclude anyone else from our forgiveness. So if we will forgive, we'll be able to forget. And if we're able to forget, then the enemy can't use that as leverage against us. That pain that produces that keeps that hurt, it's like a hemorrhage. It's like blood flowing from a wound. And every time it tries to heal, I hate to be so graphic, but every time it tries to heal, we tear at it. Tear the scab off. Scabs are not pretty, but they mean that a healing is occurring. Praise God. Hallelujah. We don't need to tear at that. Honey, we've all got scars. But you know what a scar is? It's a wound that has healed. Praise God. I've got emotional scars all over me after all of these years. But that means that wounds have been healed. And God stands ready to pour oil and wine in our wounds and make us whole today. But we must forgive and forget past hurts and the people who hurt us so that God can heal those wounds. Let's be honest about it. The Bible said, love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you. That's not the normal reaction to the situation that has caused us such pain. But I'm going to tell you something. Christians are not supposed to act like the world, i.e. normal. We're supposed to act different. Praise God, because we follow a man who is a lamb before his shears with all the power at his disposal to call armies of heaven to deliver him and destroy this ungrateful world that hated him so. But he hung, not because of Roman nails impaling him, but because of his great love for you and for me. He knew a day would come when we would need grace and mercy to be forgiven and saved from banishment and punishment. And he hung on that cross by his own free will in order to save you and me. I can't exclude someone who's hurt me from forgiveness. I must forgive, amen, that I might forget, amen, that I might go on. The wound heals, and we're able to go on without bitterness, without wrath, without clamor, without anger. We lay that aside. It's in the way. It's a hindrance. And the Bible said we're to lay aside every sin and the weight that does so easily beset us and run with patience, run full out with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And then the scripture said how we're to look to him and look upon him. Consider him that suffered such a great contradiction of sinners against himself, unless you be wearied and faint in your own mind. God wants to give somebody a new beginning today, but we have to cooperate with him by forgetting the people who have harmed us, forgetting the things that have done wrong to us, by forgiving them and letting God take care of any discipline if he feels it's necessary. That's not our job. Our job is to forgive them and then to love and serve our Lord with everything we are and everything that we have. Praise God. Today you may be listening, and you may be filled with bitterness and hate and anger. Come to Christ today. Let him forgive every sin that you've ever committed, and let him give you the grace, the mercy, and the strength to forgive those who have wronged and hurt you, to set you free from that poison that's slowly taking all the goodness and joy out of life and living, to give you a new future, a new destiny, and new destination. Praise God. Amen. Don't let the enemy defeat you today. Let Jesus give you a new beginning. Let Jesus give you new life in him right now. Today can be the day of your brand new beginning. Come to Christ. Repent of your sin. Invite Jesus into your heart. And then the past is past. And he makes everything new. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then give him the hurt. Bring the people one by one. And say, Father, I forgive this man for this, this woman for this, this wife for this, this ex-husband for this, this ex-wife. I forgive this person on the job, this friend that betrayed me. I forgive them as you forgive me. Lord, I want to go forward. I don't want to live like this. Oh God, would do a wonderful work today. If you're a Christian today, forget the things that are holding you back. Lay aside that beset you and run this race and come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.
Father.